Welcome to Fantasy Hockey Life, presented by Fantrax.
Here's Jack Hughes, and Hughes score! Oh, the kid did!
Your source of information and analysis to help you win your fantasy hockey league.
Barkov has a step, in on Stalock, Barkov shoots and scores!
Here's your hosts, Jesse Sevier and Victor Nuno.
Fantasy Hockey Live, back once again. Jesse Sevier from Fantrax, joined by Victor Nuno, editor at Dobber Prospects. Victor, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, Jesse. Yeah, thanks for popping the news off the top. It's been fun working over at Dobber, and Peter Harling asked me to come on as an editor. And when Peter Harling asks you to do something, you know, you just kind of do it, right?
You darn right. Yeah. Oh, sorry if I spoiled your news, man. I couldn't resist introducing you with the proper honorifics. Well, it's been good times here. It's getting into the winterish type of time, but we're enjoying our fantasy hockey. We're well into the season. First blood has been drawn, Victor. How are your leagues going so far?
Yeah, it's been a more difficult in some leagues than others. I definitely battled back in a couple to be in good positions. There's a couple leagues where I'm competing and it's going okay, you know, near the top of the table. Definitely some that are more frustrating than others, and then a couple surprising wins, particularly like the Cupful, which I squeaked out a couple of wins, and I end up, I'm 5-1, which I'm probably going to lose this weekend because the games played just did not work out this week. It was really hard, but it's been kind of surprising with some of the performances, and I was able to grab some high performing guys as always, but it's been kind of mixed, I would say, Jesse, which I think is when you're in so many leagues, it's kind of hard for them to all go really well. I'm still waiting for that one week where all like 13 of my teams win, which just seems pretty unlikely. But it's come close a couple times. So that's been exciting to watch. But how about yours?
I was happier at the 3-week mark than I am now. There have been a little bit of slippage in a couple of my leagues, but I still am well into first place in about a third of my leagues, and certainly in playoff position in every league except our common one where I'm tanking. And so, yeah, I can't complain. Things are still going well. Things are still going well in my leagues. Victor, we got to talk about prospects. But before we do, I want to mention a couple things to people. We got a free Discord, and Discord is a nice, happy place to be. The moderation is just Victor and I saying, don't be jerks. That's pretty much what it boils down to. So you don't have to worry about a lot of that stuff. You can just kind of come in and speak your mind, but just have a fun group of people to fit in with and talk hockey. Doesn't always have to be dynasty, but we certainly have that, and certainly have people probably who are still looking for others to pick up teams in orphan leagues. If you missed your chance to get in a dynasty league this year, if you want to get in on our Discord, basically it's free, and you can email us fantasyhockeylife@gmail.com or hit Victor or myself up on Twitter. So thanks to all the people who've done that. It's a lot of fun, and we appreciate having you all around. Victor, we got to talk some prospects, and to do it, we've got to go back across the sea to a place that's even darker than the United States is right now, and that's Sweden. And that's going to be our buddy Jimmy Hamrin right after this. Well, we're pleased to welcome back a man with his finger on the pulse of prospects over in Sweden. It is Jimmy Hamrin of EP Ringside. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. You're well into the swing of SHL, of Swedish hockey season, I would imagine. It is dark. It is cold in Sweden. People need to go to rinks and watch some hockey to cheer up, I have to think.
That's very correct. These are the darkest times we have right now, I think. But the snow has come, so it's a bit lighter now.
Awesome. Awesome, Jimmy. Well, we always appreciate your perspective. I know we were talking about your insights on some of these guys all summer long as the draft came up, because you get eyes on some of these players that a lot of us read about and think we know about, but you actually see them a little more up close and personal. So we really want to go over a number of prospects who are at least playing in Sweden, some of them Swedish, and we'll hear about some that aren't actually Swedish, but they're playing in Sweden, and that's really what counts in terms of scouting. Victor, I think you're first up on the board with a prospect here.
I sure am. One of my favorites. We'll start off with a non-Swede, Marco Kasper. Regular listeners know I'm a huge fan of Kasper's game already. He played 46 games last season in the SHL for Rögle BK, and he managed 11 points. So far this season, he has 10, and he had that in 17 games. Now a couple pointless games means 10 points in 19 games. Rögle is not doing as well as they have in the past. They're quite a bit farther down the table. But Jimmy, what have you seen from Kasper's game so far this season? Has his game evolved?
Yeah, it has. This is starting to look like another good pick by the Red Wings. I think he shows more skill this season. I think he plays the same game. He's kind of ugly, but he's at least he's very. He's very aggressive. He plays more down the middle this game, and I really like watching him. He's had a bit of a worst stretch the last few games, but I wouldn't be worried. He had a match penalty as well there in one game. He did a bad hit, but he's always evolved. He creates stuff. He's a terrific 200-foot player who works hard in every aspect and is strong around the crease. He can travel with the puck. He hits hard. I really like him. This kid will be in the NHL in a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch him in the NHL, and we're all wondering kind of what the upside is, because he's certainly seeming like he can play center in the NHL, probably at least middle six, but do you think he has that top six upside in terms of, you know, higher end potential for being a one or a two C there?
Yeah, that depends on how you surround him. Maybe he's not, you know, skilled enough to be like a driver on the top line creatively, but if he has creative players around him, he will be a really strong force there down the middle. You know, with a guy like Lucas Raymond in Detroit now, he would fit perfect. So I think that depends on the surroundings. You won't put him as a first or second line center without some more creative players around him. So I think that's the hinge with him. He could also play further down the lineup and be very effective there too.
Well, we're going to a goalie fairly early in this talk today. Dennis Hildeby of the Toronto Maple Leafs, a fourth round pick last year, a goalie in the SHL up in the big league, with his second year of pretty reasonable stats there, although he's 21, so he was drafted, I believe, as an overager. With the Farjestad BK, we'll see how that goes. This year, he started six games with a .914 save percentage at last check. What are you seeing from Hildeby, and could he be playing in a blue jersey sometime in the future?
Well, the goalies are always tough to project. I think he played in my hometown a lot of years before he came to Färjestad. So I've seen him a lot. He's very big, and he plays to his size very much. I think he has some technical issues he needs to work on, but he has shown steady development all the time and working hard. So, but we're talking many years before I think he will need to earn a starting job here in Sweden first, I think, before stepping over, and then he will need some time in the minors. And so I don't know, maybe there are a lot of Swedish goalies over in North America. If they aren't, you know, super, super talented, they need a couple of years of minor hockey over there before they step in. I think this is a guy, if he's going to play, maybe he's a backup goalie in the NHL, and then he plays. But he has a couple of years before he can reach that, I think. But the development is steady. He isn't super young either. He was drafted this year, but he's 21. So maybe in a couple of years he can play with the Marlies at first. And with that size, it seems like they always get a chance when they're that big as he is.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, he's a good one. Speaking of size, on the other end of the spectrum, we have ML Andre. I've heard Andre, Andrea. Hopefully we'll hear you say it right, because I haven't heard a Swedish person say it yet. ML, I've been a fan of him for a while. He's still only 5'9". He was 5'9" when he was drafted. He's still only 5'9". But he helped his team get promoted last season, HV71 from the Svenskan. He, after being demoted a couple of years back, and now that he's in the SHL, he's producing a little bit over half point per game at 9 points in 16 games. He, 19 games. He last season had 33 points in 41 games, helping get them promoted. So that was pretty great. And at the rescheduled Summer World Junior Championship, he was great. He was by far the best defenseman, outperforming Simon Edvinson, who's a great prospect in his own right. He got a minute more ice time than Edvinson, so he was being leaned on by the coaches more. Andrea also upped his shots and hits in the SHL, and his Corsi and Fenwick hasn't really taken a big hit. So, Jimmy, how has Andrea looked this season? What do you think of his NHL prospects? Because he's still quite undersized at 5'9", even though he's up to almost 180 pounds. So a little bit stockier, but still very small.
Yeah, he's a great play driver from the back end. He fits very well with the bigger ice surface here. He drives plays for his team. I think he's a great player. It's really tough to play in a newcomer. They're down there in the bottom of the standings, and it's tough for them to win games. But he competes very hard too, and that is one thing I really like about Andre. It's Andre. You don't say the A there.
It was those American announcers. They were saying Andrea. They messed me up, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's Andrea if you switch the order there, but between the last two. The last two vowels. Should be the other way around if you're gonna say Andrea.
So well, that's what I thought, but Andre. They kept saying that. I second guessed myself.
Yeah, I've heard it a lot. So, but it's Andre. Okay, moving on to the player. So he's a very smart with the puck. He's great on the power play. He competes hard. He's not strong defensively, but the size will be an issue for him. I think, being in an all-star team in the World Juniors, of course, Philadelphia will take him over and try to play him. I think in the maybe not the NHL right away, but I think the size is something that could hold him back for keeping an NHL spot long term. And if he's not an NHL player, he will be a terrific player in, here in Europe, a top player here for many, many years, I think. But he got a chance. I think he has a chance, be a top four defenseman. Everything he does with the puck is great. And also his competitiveness. The skating maybe could be better, if you want to be more sure of him sticking in the NHL long term. As a top defenseman, but other than that, the decision making and everything like that looks really well. So it's going to be really interesting to see I think it's like a 50-50 chance to be coming. He has all the skills and those tools. It's just a matter of can he defend well enough with that size, with that skating? That will be the question mark. And we won't really know for sure because from when he steps over. So that we'll get the proof of that. So, great player.
Is it the end zone that is the problem? Like in his own zone, does he kind of get pushed around a little bit? Is that the biggest problem, or is it the rush defending that is more of a problem for him?
I would say to both. I say he in the rush defending, you know, if you don't have really strong skating, we have seen a lot of talented Swedish defensemen step over, like Victor Soderstrom, Nils Lundqvist, I think is with Dallas now, but he also struggled. When you aren't a great skater and don't have big reach, you have problem with the rush defending. I think, you know, the in zone defensive play, if the game isn't fast paced, he's not physically strong, but he works really hard and competes well. So I think the more issue is the rush defending, and it's a lot of rush defending in the NHL, you know, at the highest level, and the pace is so much higher than it is here in Sweden. So that would be really be the question mark for me with him.
Well, we're going to talk about our first 2023 prospect of the day, and he's a 5'11 forward, splitting time between the SHL and, of course, Sweden in international play. It is Otto Stenberg. He was Sweden's captain at the Hlinka-Gretzky Cup with 9 points in 5 games. And, of course, EP Ringside, one of the cool things you guys have over there at Elite Prospects, I guess more the statistical side of things, is you can see what rankings a lot of different public ranking sites have given these 2023 prospects. And I would say the consensus is somewhere around like a mid first round prospect, but that's the public ranking. And I imagine you have a little bit more of an informed take from watching him a little more closely. What have you seen from Otto Stenberg's game, and what are his NHL possibilities, Jimmy?
This is an interesting prospect. He is, when you see him playing in juniors, like when the junior national team, he competes extremely hard. He reminds me a bit of Marco Kasper, actually. He competes hard. He's strong on the puck. He scans the ice. I like, you know, how he tries to create, make stuff happen. He's very active. But in all, you know, his puck skills aren't elite. I think his size isn't elite. When he gets to higher and higher levels, I think I don't really know. He plays like a first line center in when he plays junior hockey. I can see him more like a middle six center or winger when he comes up higher and higher. And with that style of play and not being, you know, that physically big, but he still is strong. So he's a tough nut for me. I think I will need, you know, the full season to really know where to put him in the draft, but he sure is a grade A prospect who I think competes for a spot in the first round. I think he was higher ranked before this season. His production hasn't been, you know, really that big so far in this season. So we'll see where that goes. But he's an interesting player. He plays with a lot of power in his game, like a power center or a power forward winger with some quite good puck skills, but not elite puck skills.
All right, sounds exciting. We'll be hearing and talking a lot about Stenberg over the course of the year, I imagine. Let's move on to another goalie. This is a goalie we've talked a fair bit about over the years, Kalle Klang. I was really hoping that we'd see Klang in North America this year, but he was loaned back to Sweden, where he's playing in the SHL for the aforementioned Rögle BK. His numbers in nine games aren't great. He's 2-5, .903 save percentage, 2.80 GAA. Rogue LeBK, as I mentioned earlier, not doing so well this season. 11 out of 14 clubs. Under the hood, Klang's expected goals per goal conceded is 0.93, which is down from 1.19 a year ago on a similar team. And remember, that 1.0 mark is where you want to be above, because that means you're saving more than expected. So similar, but a little bit down. And Dostal, remember, Klang is now Ducks property, and so he's gonna have to fight with Lukas Dostal for that starting gig moving forward, I imagine, although John Gibson is obviously still there. So tell us what you've seen in Klang this year, and do you think he still has starter upside from what you've seen from him?
Rogle, there's something wrong with Rogle this season, and it's not Kalle Klang. So the numbers, I think, will get better. I think Rogle was a team that, you know, people thought would compete for the championship. They're, you know, in the bottom of the standings. Talk about internal problems, injuries, stuff like that. So, of course, that has affected his play, but it has affected his stats. I don't think it's affected his play that much. I think he plays great. He's a goalie that, when he came up, you know, as a junior, he was very aggressive. He was very fast and aggressive, but Rogle has worked with him very well, and he has structured his game really well. So he has that athletic ability, but also now he's more technically sound and reads the game better. So I think this is an interesting prospect. I think he's, I don't know, maybe not, you know, a sure starter in the future. It's tough to become a starter in NHL, but at least a fringe starter. He will step over. He will compete for a spot in NHL. And I think he's, this is an interesting goalie prospect, and he has played a lot at highest Swedish level here already, he's still just 20 years old. So maybe we'll see him in the Ducks there for maybe, I don't know, like 3 years from now or something like that. So 2 or 3 years away from being competing from a, it's like with Hildeby. Klang isn't the starter for his team yet. He plays a lot of games, will play more games this season than he did last year, but isn't, you know, like this number one goalie in SHL yet. And I think he will need to be that before he will be ready to compete for an NHL spot.
Yeah, good call. 27 SHL games played as 20-year-old. That's pretty good. He won't be 21 until May, so that's quite a lot for a young goalie. Let's move on to the next. I decided to clump these. This is something we wanted to ask you about. The Djurgården 3, which sounds like an infamous or notorious movie trio or something. I'm not sure, but the three that were drafted last season, Jonathan Lekkerimäki, Noah Östlund, and Liam Ögren, all play for Djurgårdens, who were relegated last season to the Allsvenskan. I would say that really wasn't their fault, but they have, you know, we kind of thought being in the Allsvenskan, they would tear it up. They would be putting up big numbers, draft plus one season, high pedigree guys. Hasn't quite worked out that way so far, but they are second in the league behind Modo. Lekkerimäki has 5 points in 20 games. He's the lowest of the three. And then Ögren has 7 points in 21 games. And Östlund faring the best, at least statistically, 11 points in 19 games. We know that these three have different roles in terms of like goal scoring and transition play. It's not just about points, but Jimmy, tell us about these guys. What have you seen? Has something evolved in their game? Have they struggled with certain things? What's going on with the Djurgården 3?
Yeah, I think the evolving has been done from Noah Östlund. I think he has looked really well. He, when we talk about the NHL future, I mean, a centerman with his size, that would be an issue. but I like his skating better. He's so smart all the time. His shot has been better. He shoots more, even though he just has two goals. I think he creates a lot. He plays really well. He supports teammates well. I think it's tough. You need to look at contexts too. I mean, Djurgården they are like the Montreal Canadiens of the NHL. They have the most championships, and so when they get relegated, they go all in to get promoted the first season. So they have, you know, guys like Marcus Kruger who played a lot in Chicago for many years, successful, and so they have a really strong team. So it's tough for these kids to take top 6 minutes or power play minutes, but some of them has played there, and they play them together for a couple of games. Now I think they have shifted them around from the last 4 games I watched. With that said, I was expecting more from both Lekkerimäki and Liam Ergin. I don't think they have played well this season. Ergin, he's physical, he's creating stuff, but he's not that dominant offensively. He should be more active. I think he should be creating more chances. He's not been leaving a big effect on the team when he plays. Lekkerimäki has looked worst of the three. I think he has only one goal. He was promoted as a shooter. He scored on everything at junior. He has not playing well when he got the chance on the power play. He's trying too much with his hands. His speed isn't beating guys, so he has a lot to figure out, I think, and he has had a bad start to the season. I think they're all three will play in the World Juniors, so it will be very interesting to see them there. But so it's been tough. Djurgården hasn't scored a lot either as a team, so there aren't actually lower ranked guys who has impressed more. Like the goalie there, Carl Lindbom, has been excellent. He is a Vegas draft pick. And Kalle Odelius, I think, has been solid too, the defenseman who Islanders was the fourth guy from Djurgården this summer who got drafted. So those guys, they haven't had the same pressure either, but those guys have looked more solid, I think, than these three. But Noah Östlund is trending well. The other two leaves a bit of a question mark right now with Ergin and Lekkerimäki. They need to step up their game.
Okay. Well, that is a couple of guys on a team we're definitely going to keep a close eye on. Let's take a brief break, Jimmy. Come back and talk a few more prospects in Sweden.
Lord, Lord, there's a weapon at your door and it's pointed at your eye socket. Double gangers
are back. Well, the reason I said prospects in Sweden before the break is, like we teased earlier, the next guy we're going to talk about is one of the top 2023 prospects and is demonstrably not Swedish. He is the Slovakian Dalibor Dvorsky. He has played in Sweden since, if my math is right, before he was even a teenager. So he certainly is acclimatized and has been part of that hockey culture for a very long time. He's a half point per game guy for Allsvenskan's AIK this year. And at least the ice times I can find are pretty decent, although AIK are pretty low in the standings as well. By the way, his teammates was Zion Nybeck. How good is Dalibor Dvorsky, Jimmy?
Oh, I really like this player. He has looked more comfortable, I think, in the Djurgården guys in Allsvenskan. His ice time has been going up and down. I think the coach has been not sure of where to put him, but all the games I've seen, when they put Dvorsky on the power play, their power play is much better. He is such a great passer in the offensive zone. He's very smart. He is He can open space with his hands. He gets time and space when he controls the puck, and he's very aware around it. So in the offensive zone, he's a terrific player. He's also shown a bit of sandpaper to his game. He hasn't been shy of delivering hits, although he's just a 17-year-old in a professional league. And so I really, but then of course, I mean, he's skating. When you just look at him the first time, like you see a prospect, oh, I'm going to look at this prospect, and you see like the first shift, so it looks like he can't skate. He's not evolved, but then you see the small thing he does. He's very smart. So I think this is a guy, although not being a strong skater, I think he can, he thinks the game so fast. So I think this is a player who will reach the NHL. I think he has a chance of, you know, being drafted top 10 in the next draft. I think this is a very smart, specifically offensively, a very smart player, I think, and creative and fun to watch. So I really like Dalibor Dvorsky.
Nice. Well, the next draft eligible guy we're going to talk about is Swedish, and he is Leo Carlson, ranked top five by several outfits. 6'3" forward, as high as second. I saw Sportsnet had him way up there, but the lowest I've seen is 19 by the Hockey News. But most people have him between 2 and 6. Obviously, it's still very early. When I first looked at this a few days ago, he had 13 points in 18 games, which is really remarkable for a Rebro HK. It's now 13 and 18 games. But that 0.72 points per game mark at that time was pacing out for third all time in SHL for draft eligible players, right behind a couple guys our listeners may have heard of, Peter Forsberg, Daniel and Hedrick, and Daniel Sedin, and just behind Henrik. So I don't know. Those are some pretty lofty names, Jimmy. Do you think Leo Carlson belongs in the conversation with those great names? Do you think he maybe is overperforming a little bit? And tell us a little bit about Leo Carlson's game.
I don't think it's overperforming. Maybe, you know, second overall is a bit too high, but as you know, Bedard and Fantilian, that Russian kid, but he is very, very good. So he is, in many games I've seen, he has been his team's, in the SHL, his team's best player. He wants to create stuff all the time. He's always active. He drives to the net. He takes the middle. He's strong. His skating isn't perfect, but his crossover skating is good, and he can gain ice and generate speed when it's crossovers. And he's also calm with the puck. You know, he seeks plays. He's a good playmaker, and so he always gets the puck to the net. He creates for his line, and I think he's a really good player, and will be a good NHL player too. Maybe not one of the greatest players of all time in Sweden, but a really, really good player. And if there's something I think he lacks, maybe is, you know, he's better a rush player maybe than, you know, he's still solid on the power play too, but not, you know, that super creative power play player or the one who can open up ice with only his hands. He doesn't have that maybe, but he's a very strong driver of play anyway. So this is a good, he will be a top line forward in the NHL, I think, you know, with that size, the way of covering the puck, taking it to the net, want to create. He's a good prospect, definitely. Top five, I think, for the draft at least.
Wow, etch that one in your kitchen table, so to speak. That's that's a good one to know. Thank you, Jimmy. Theo Lindstein is another 2023, a Swedish left-hand defenseman. It looks like publicly people are thinking about him maybe in the 20-ish range, but he's playing for Baroness IF along with the J20 team. He didn't produce a ton for the big club so far this year, but he's produced since being moved down to the lower levels. How excited should we be for this guy? And of course, the immortal question, we're talking about a defenseman. If Theo Lindstein ever gets to the NHL, is he also going to be able to be an offensive producer at that level?
Yeah, so this guy is a guy, I mean, it's still pretty early in the season. He has had some injury issues early in the season here. So it's a guy that I'm trying to get my head around. The thing he does, he's a great skater. He skates well with the puck. He's very smart. He's a good passer of the puck. He doesn't have, you know, those elite flashy skills with the puck. Defensively, he some games looks very solid, good gaps, play very smart. Other games I've seen, he's leaving too much gap and made some bad decisions. So right now I'm not sure what he is. He's a two-way defenseman, so he won't be, you know, a top producing defenseman, he won't be a shutdown defenseman. He's more, you know, that, you know, middle pair two-way defenseman who plays well both sides of the ice. His performance so far this season has been a bit inconsistent, so I'm not really sure where to put him, you know, for the draft at this stage.
All right, well, let's talk about another player who's draft eligible. This is Axel Sandin Pelikka, 5'11", right-handed D. Won't be 18 until March 11th, so fairly young in his draft year. He played 19 games for the J20 Skellefteå AIK, put up 24 points. He's got so far played in 9 SHL games with 2 points. He's rated between a first and late second round pick, so kind of in between there. What do you think of Sandin Pelikka, Jimmy?
Yeah, this player I really like. He has been producing a ton in the junior league and has played well in the SHL too. And the size, always this the thing with the size. But this guy isn't big, but he plays big, I think. He delivers hit. He plays aggressively. I like his skating too. It's, you know, strong lower body balance. He can skate and deke with a low muscle tone. It doesn't need a lot of energy to skate fast. He's very smart with the puck. He's very strong on the power play. He has really nice puck touch. You know, he puts up pace for the whole power play with nice passing. He moves well along the blue line. And there's a lot of things to like with Sandin Pelikka. For me, I think he should belong in the first, somewhere in the first round of the draft, not at the top maybe, but I see him as a first round draft pick, and he is, I think it's the size, you know, it will always be an issue. His skating is good, but it isn't maybe, you know, elite when we talk NHL level, so we're back with, but he's a bit bigger and a bit stronger than a guy like Emil Andre, who we talked about earlier. And I think this guy is a little more skilled too. And so this is a good defenseman, I think, and definitely a top four prospect.
Very good. Well, let's talk about a guy who's a little less prominent in the public rankings, but certainly has produced so far this year. Noah Dower-Nilsson, a 6-foot centerman for Frölunda HC J20 team with 21 goals, 16 assists for 37 points in only 21 games. So he's tearing up the score sheet right now. Also very productive at the Hlinka Gretzky with 4 points in 5 games. Tell us about Noah Dower-Nilsson's game and his prospects for the draft and a possible future North American career.
Yeah, this is a really good player too. He's a very smart player. He has a great shot. He good skater, but not a super fast skater. I think that's maybe an issue. He's, you know, the kind of, I don't know how to explain, like the, he looks a bit like in style, and not it's not a full person, but in style, when he moves like Ryan Nugent Hopkins, a bit, you know, that soft, his movement is a bit slow, but it's very controlled. I don't know how to describe it better. But he is so smart on the ice. He has a great shot. He has a very strong puck skills. He sees the ice very well. He's great on a power play. He creates well, 5-on-5 too. Maybe the top speed and some issues with his competitiveness could hold him back a bit, but I can also see him competing for a first, being a first round draft pick. If he keeps up the season he has started, he is producing, as you say, a ton, and he's such a smart and skilled player. I think that will be the issue there, the speed and competitiveness, if that's good enough. But he has fantastic tools. And his brother was drafted a couple of years ago. I think this guy is a better prospect than his brother was.
Jimmy, since you said his game has at least some similarity to Ryan Nugent Hopkins, and Nuge is RNH, can we just go ahead and make Noah Dower Nilsson NDN just for the convenience of all prospect heads right now?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Nice. All right, so we're going to finish off with a non-Swede. We have Alex Chernik. He's Slovakian, and he's 5'10". Really old for this draft class. He just turned 18 on October 8th, so just past the deadline to be eligible for the 2023 draft. So he will be, you know, 18, you know, this whole season, and much older than most of the other prospects. A couple of the sites have him somewhere as a really late first or kind of early to mid second round pick from what I've seen. He's playing in Sweden, which is why we get to ask you about him, which is great. He's got 13 points in 10 games for the J20 Södertälje SK, and then he's played 5 games in the Allsvenskan, where he has 1 assist. So yeah, tell us what you thought of Chernik so far in his time in Sweden.
Yeah, it was a really explosive player, kind of fun player to watch. He has a weird skating stride, but he's very fast nonetheless. But I think he's naturally explosive, and I think his explosiveness is something that stands out when you watch him. He just comes out of nowhere and just creates a chance. So he has great offensive weapons. He's a bit undersized, but I really like his. I like his offensive tools, and I think he's an exciting player. Maybe not a first rounder, but definitely a skilled second rounder. I think he can be in the draft. So, but we're still early there. But as you say, he's a bit older too. But I think he's going to have a great season in junior, and maybe play some more in Allsvenskan too, and put up some more points there. So, he's an exciting player.
Well, tremendous, Jimmy. That is some great insights on some players that not everybody around these parts gets a great look at. Why don't you let people know what they should be checking out for you over at EP Ringside, and maybe how to follow you on social, that sort of thing.
Well, social, it's Twitter, at Jimmy Hamrin. Easiest, very easy if you know how to spell my name. If you can read in Swedish, you can write my stuff on Hockey Sverige, a sister site from Elite Prospects. I write articles there, and I also scout for EP Ringside. We will have our rankings out I think in December sometime, our first ranking, and gonna do some stuff there for the World Juniors and stock watching and stuff like that. So
awesome. Everybody should check that out. Jimmy is the Swedish man on the street. I appreciate all of your insights on that, Jimmy. Thanks for coming on again.
Yeah, thanks. It was a pleasure.
talk with Jimmy. Much appreciate always having him here. A couple things to mention before we get out of here. Fantrax is the best place to play all your fantasy sports. It is a place you can customize your draft picks. You can do three-way trades, real or auction salaries, deep minors, player pools, conditional waiver bids, hundreds of scoring settings. Fantrax HQ has fantasy content coming out of their ears. There's articles on fantasy hockey, some recommended streamers and ads and drops, and stuff on all the other fantasy sports, including podcasts and tons of articles on baseball, basketball, and football. Did I say football? I meant football. And so many podcasts you should check out in all of those arenas. And the place where Victor now runs the place, or at least in my mind, canonically runs the place, Dauber Prospects and Dauber Hockey. We're happy to be part of the Dauber Podcast Network, as well as the Fantrax Podcast Network. Victor covers the Detroit Red Wings. Victor, I'm shocking this on you, but is there anything you want to mention that you got going on over at Dauber?
I will mention, thanks for that. This is relatively new, and Peter taking over as the managing editor from Dave Hall, who's stepping back. And Peter used to be the editor. And so as the managing editor, and is coming on as one of the editors, one of the things I get to do is do some ramblings. And so I'm looking forward to that. And so I will probably be hopefully every week, but maybe more like twice a month, be putting out some ramblings in addition to covering the Detroit Red Wings, which I will continue to do for now anyways. So that'll be good. Hopefully it'll be, you know, I'll open it up for submissions if there are players people want to hear about. There'll be another opportunity to cover guys, not just on the podcast, but also in the ramblings. So look forward to that.
That is tremendous. And I will tell everybody, in addition to the stuff you're getting on this podcast, we have a Patreon. Victor, we got all kinds of things going on over there. Why don't you tell people some of the things that they get if they happen to decide to join up?
Yeah, well, you get all our show notes. You get a priority channel in the Discord, which is always good to kind of look at first as some of the smartest people in there. And then we have a lot of other things like the rankings, the prospect rankings, the tiers. The tier dynasty has been going. It's been going. It's been fun, Jesse. I know a couple people, been a little frustrated with some of the settings because your players can get you negative points, and it's kind of difficult to manage a good team, you know, which I think is kind of realistic. You have to choose who to put in your lineup because there are sometimes guys may do some dumb things like Arbor Jacki getting a fighting major and a misconduct, which PIMs are negative. So that messed me up. But you know, you got to like choose wisely with your streamers too. And it's a lot of fun, and you can kind of build your way up towards the top. So the tier dynasty is another one of the benefits. And we have a channel in there where we're always talking and doing trades and stuff. So it's a good time. If you like those kinds of, you know, big leagues with a lot of participants, not unlike the Cupful, then, you know, but with a more dynasty flair, then, you might want to consider that. So there's a lot of good reasons to support us if you enjoy the show.
And I do a second podcast. It's a solo cast. It's Dynasty Sports Life. I bring on guests to talk about dynasty baseball, basketball, and football primarily, but I also do episodes comparing sports, bringing a little bit of hockey into that. Some of the theories might apply to dynasty hockey and all dynasty sports. So I hope people, if that is an interest, we'll check that out. Follow Victor and myself on Twitter. At Fan Hockey Life is my handle. At Victor Nuno 12, VictorNuno12 is Victor. Victor is, he's powering up the charts on followers. And I'd like to see Victor. We got to get you up to 1,000, man. We're going to push to 1,000. That's our goal by the end of the year, is to get Victor to 1,000 followers on Twitter, because he actually says cleverer things than I tend to do there. Rate and review our podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere else you can. 5 stars and a couple kind words goes a long way to keeping Victor and myself going. You are something like 7 weeks into the season. You might even consider it like a third of the way through the season, or even farther toward the playoffs. There's no time like the present to live your fantasy hockey life.